The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then he consented. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came out from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to thee, Lord Christ. In the name of the one undivided God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. The first Sunday of Epiphany is historically the Sunday in which we celebrate and remember the baptism of Jesus by John the Baptist. So it's another kind of John the Baptist kind of day is tied into our calendar. And it's kind of a weird because we've just finished the Nativity and the Advent, the coming of Christ and Christmas, and then the wise men come, and then the next week he's 30 years older. It's like, wait, what just happened here? And it is an interesting, kind of gets lost somewhere in the shuffle of our modern day liturgics. But historically, right now, the biggest celebration of the Christian calendar is Christmas. It's huge. It's become a major celebration around the world. But historically, Easter is the biggie. That's what defines Christianity, is the Paschal celebration. This is why there is a Christianity. That really marks it all. That changed everything. And the two Gospels we understand, Christmas, going back to Christmas, there's only two, and that's Matthew and Luke. And they have different stories, and we've kind of merged them together to create this Christmas story. Christmas came a little bit later within the history of the church. And some Christians, they don't make much of a deal at all about Christmas because Easter's really the biggie. But once our society and the business community discovered Christmas, boom, it's like half of our profits are made during Christmas. It's going to be a biggie. And then the Christmas carols added to it, and it's huge. But not to get lost in this, all four Gospels talk about the baptism of Jesus. Mark, that's what starts it all off. John starts off in the beginning of all things, of everything that ever was and is and ever will be, that was God, and the Word was with God, and then he goes right to the baptism. And Matthew and Luke also, baptism, but it's after the birth, so this is really a biggie. And to get a scope on this, the first lesson from Isaiah, written 600 years before Jesus, is speaking about this suffering servant. This Messiah is going to come, but it's 600 years ahead. It's going to come. We have hope. We even to this day, when Jesus returns someday, it will be. Having some future hope is a nice thing. And even the birth of Jesus, here's a baby. Well, he will be the Messiah. Not today, though, but someday in the future. The baptism of Jesus is that moment when history changed. And to get a perspective on this, to understand the monumental moment, imagine yourself on the 20th floor of an apartment building, and it's engulfed in flames, and there's no way down because all the ways of egress are engulfed in flames. And all of a sudden, a ladder hits on your window, and somebody comes in, and he's got this gear on, and he breaks through the window, and he comes in, and there's your family. You're like, yes, we're going to be saved. That's the baptism of Jesus. When God broke the window down, broke the way of physics, broke everything and said the anointing of God, and Jesus came into the world and said, I'm here. Changed everything. It's no longer in the future. The moment was there. John the Baptist got it, saying, whoa, wait a minute. It's not just the third in command. It's not the guy driving the truck. This is the chief coming in. This is God coming to be with us, realizing the monumental dimension of this. And this taking us from that inflamed world, the world in which we have created addictions and distractions, diversions, guilt, and all sorts of things that weigh our life down or lead us astray. Jesus comes into the world and says, I'm here to bring you home. Come on. And that journey that begins in the baptism is going to continue us through into the resurrection and saying, the ship is sinking, we're coming on board and we're going to take you and let's come with us. We've got another boat. Come on with us. And this is that moment that whatever denomination you're part of, if you're the Baptist, this is the moment of born again. I've met Jesus. I was inflamed and he came and pulled me out. I was lost, but now I'm found. You know, John Newton with the slave ship saying, this is it. My life is no longer the same. Amazing grace. It could be that moment of aha in the woods where you're sitting there and realizing, yes, Lord, you're there. And it could happen again and again in that renewal moment that this is what changes everything. The baptism of Jesus is crucial. And it's kind of lost in the shuffle, but it is where our life is connected to God. Because God has come to be with us and said, I'm here to take you home. Take you back to where you've gone astray. The anger and frustration you've been holding against all these people, pull yourself out of that. Come on, let go. The frustration and guilt, oh, all these things I've been hanging on that I regret doing in my life, let those go. You're not taking those down this ladder. All these opinions that are so important and all these plans that I need to be doing, let them go. This is the time to come to be with Jesus. Oh, but I have great ideas what we can do on the way. No, let it go. Just hold on tight. Just hold on as I carry you down because you're not in any condition to do it yourself. Just let that power of God touch our heart. This is the baptism of Jesus coming to be with us, saying we're coming, and it's going to defy all of our fears and anxieties. We know the journey. We know where it's going. It's going right to Jerusalem eventually. And the human condition and the human community is once again going to say, whoa, wait a minute. We don't want the change of the way we view everything. We need a scapegoat. We need someone to blame. We need someone to hold on to. And it's going to be, and Jesus said, I don't care. You can blame. You can put everything you want on me. I'm coming to take you home. And Jesus going right through the cross into the resurrection and pulling us with him. And this is inverting the clothes that have been put on upside down, taking them and writing it right out. And we're right behind. And we're part of that journey. And we become the ones that are going to be coming into the house and the room for others as time goes on. Say, when we don't have fear, we know this fire won't engulf us. We know the ship may go down, but we know it's going to be okay. The power of God is transforming our life. And the healing that's taking place in our life is what's going to be healing, the continuing to heal this world. This is an important day. The season of Advent is help is on the way. Help is on the way. The incarnation of Christmas, help is here, but it's going to be here. It's here, but in this hope, the baptism of Jesus is, it's now. And it's one thing to kind of know something is coming. It's one thing to train as a firefighter, but it's another thing when the siren goes off and it's like, okay, it's you and you've got to get in there and do something. It's one thing to know that there may be some moment of, I remember as a parent when, I forget what the moment was, but I was alone with my kids and someone, I don't know, who got cut or hurt, and I realized, this is up to me. Wait a minute, I'm the parent here. This is, what do I do? I don't know what I'm doing as a parent. Who trained me to be a parent? And it doesn't matter. At that point, the kid's looking to me to be held. And that's all I needed to do, was to hold that kid and to hold him and be with him. And this is Jesus taking me from my place of bondage where I have tied my life in a knot of questioning and my insecurities and saying, it doesn't matter what your insecurities are, Peter. I need you. Just hold the kid now, and it's going to be okay. And in that moment, I found my own healing carried down the ladder a little bit further and closer to God at that point. And we are all called in the baptism of Jesus. We are all met in this more mortal moment of our life with the presence of God who became fully human, waiting to embrace us. As we running from God to try to control our world, and God greeted us and stopped us and said, here I am in this baptism. We're turning it around. The definition of the word repentance is turn around. That's really what it means. I always love the cartoons in the New Yorker, repent, repent. Really, all it means is turn around, you're going the wrong way. In a certain moment that as a guy, I don't always ask for directions, but this is a moment where God says to me, turn around. Turn around from whatever it is that's causing me to be separated from God. It could be shutting the TV off for a while. It could be putting my phone down for a while. It could be whatever it might be. It's just letting go of my opinion for a while. Whatever it might be, the frustrations and the wounds that I've had for year after year, just put that down. We're going home. This is why we gather together in our worship. Coming back to the altar is a reminder every time we reach out is we're back home, back to that deep place where God is reaching out and somehow holding us again. And whether the deep memories are there that come with us, but it's a healing memory that will heal all of our memories. When I come back, and there was years back, I was doing a funeral and I was offering the communion and I wasn't really paying attention. In the midst of things, I started saying, you know, the body of Christ, the body of Christ. And then I started and found myself saying, the body of Margaret, the body of Margaret. I was like, oh no, think about this. And I was mortified for a moment, but then I realized that in these relationships, because this dear person I love dearly is a part of that meal. And was with us and was with God and somehow is connected. And in this meal, I am with these people who have sat in these pews that I've gotten to know and love so dearly. And it is, yes, it is the body of Margaret and all the people of our lives that are so important. And you know, the wafer, in a sense, when I was a little kid, and to me, the happy moment of my childhood is my grandmother in the kitchen handing me a cookie for both hands. You have two hands, so you should have two cookies, molasses cookies. And I mean, that I still have that notion of the little kid, you know, holding this, thinking I was the richest kid in the world because I had two molasses cookies. This is where God reaching forth the wafer of love, saying, yes, you're home. And you're with those who were that you will never know again, but are there. And you are with those who are yet to be. And they're there. Let go. The Lord has come broken into our life in a way that has shattered the glass and the windows and is there. It may not look like the God I had imagined in all the gear that is there, but God is here waiting to take us. We just need to let go, put it down that we might be carried for a moment to the altar of God where God is waiting for us. Amen.